This is Toon Talk Weekly, episode 271. This week, Brad brings us a show from Disney XD. We check out the brand new show, Big City Greens.
Here you are. Here are your menus, and your waiter will be with you shortly.
Ooh.
I'm gonna order the craziest, wackiest thing here.
That won't be hard. It's all garbage.
Oh!
What kind of restaurant doesn't serve pizza?
They do, in smoothie form. See? The shrimpy peasy smoothie.
Yeah. Pizza's for eating, not drinking.
Fire on!
They just keep getting better.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Toon Talk Weekly. This is the weekly cartoon podcast where we talk about just that, cartoons. I'm Jake Williams, but I don't do the show alone. Got my friend Brad Chmielewski here. What's up, dude?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well, man. It was cool last week being in the same office, and now...
Yeah, it was nice.
Now, well, of course, like if you listened last week, I put a note in our post, but the audio, something went wrong with my file, but I still wanted to get an episode out to you guys. So if you can bear the... not as good quality as you come to expect from us. I think the discussion about Paradise PD was still pretty good.
Yeah, I think so.
I think you started to turn me around on it a little bit to the point where I watched part of another episode when I fell asleep the other night.
Oh, whoa. That's big.
So, well, I needed to, I was so distraught after the end of HoboCop that I was like, you know, I just got to see what else these guys are doing.
Okay.
That's as far as I got, so... maybe something I'll pick up in the future, but I think I agree with your assessment from last week where it's just a pretty good show if you need something to listen to, because the writing is like really what's, you hear the slapsticky stuff. The writing kind of just writes the situations for you and you get what's going on.
Yeah, there's not a lot of gag humor. It's all written.
Yeah, so... So that was last week. We did have fun with that show again. Sorry for the audio quality. Hopefully this week's better. But also, if you're watching the video version, more updates. Yeah, I'm in a different office. I moved my desk upstairs in my home. And now it might be a little bit echoey, but I'm hoping we get the kinks worked out. So, but just a weird, it's going to be a weird month, man. Weird month of shows, I think.
Sounds good. So we should keep the cartoons weird.
Yeah, but they should be weirder than this week, because this week is great. This week's show, of course, if you're checking out the title, you already know, is Disney XD's Big City Greens. Fun fact, this was actually on the docket last week, potentially, but we decided to go with Paradise PD instead. And here we are covering another brand new cartoon, because quite honestly, there's never been a better time to watch cartoons, man.
Are we in the golden year of cartoons? That's, or golden air?
That's a blanket statement. I'm just going to call it. I should just say it every week.
It's the golden era cartoons. This show's great.
Never been a better time. Watch that cartoon. So Big City Greens, man, you came across the show. Where did you first see this?
I feel like someone shared a picture or mentioned it on Twitter. And I was just like, what's this?
Yeah. And, you know, we will say, like, yes, lots of, like, cartoons these days have that sort of, like, very friendly but also, like, squishy style of characters and stuff. And Big City Greens, like, their general style at face value kind of fits that as well. I think what's great about this show becomes the characters, and we'll get into plenty of that when we talk about some of the episodes we watched this week. But what should we know about Big City Greens? Of course, premiered in 2018, just a few months ago. It was created by the Houghton Brothers. They actually originally worked on Harvey Beaks for Nickelodeon.
Nice, okay.
Which I think Harvey Beaks is probably in our, like, definitely top 10 we've ever covered on this show, but maybe even top 5?
Yeah, it's up there. It's just a great show.
Yeah. So it's definitely, like, I think where the lovable characters are, like, the charming characters at times, and this show peeks through is maybe some of that experience. Even though that show is, like, built on... Harvey Beaks is, like, built on being charming, like, everything about it. Mm-hmm. Even the guy's dad who collects like crystals or whatever.
Hell yeah, that guy. I haven't watched. I haven't caught up with that show in a long time.
Yeah, it's time, man. And then Chris Houghton, one of the brothers, also worked on storyboards on Gravity Falls. Some of the art influence can be seen, I think, in this as well.
Yeah. Okay.
So one season, 18 total episodes of Big City Greens, and it's renewed for a second season before it even premiered. So Disney has a lot of faith in this show, which is pretty awesome.
Well, yeah, it's like their it's Disney's Clarence.
Hmm. It's an interesting way to put it, especially with the main character Cricket and just kind of how clueless about regular world stuff he is.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that, yeah. Disney XD actually greenlit the series in 2016, but the original name was Country Club.
Oh, that's a horrible name.
Yeah, I definitely kind of like Big City Greens way better, right?
I think of Country Bears. Didn't Disney own that franchise for a while?
I think of a golf course, you know, like... like a Caddyshack cartoon or something? Like that's what
it
is?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. So the show basically features the Green family, mainly Cricket Green. He's like this mischievous, young, little, optimistic country boy. The whole family's country boy who I assume they moved to Big City, or is Big City built up around them?
They moved there.
Yeah.
They didn't really say why.
That's true.
But they moved there.
And they're still running.
And somehow got a house that was... just a house in the city.
Yeah, that's why I'm under the impression that, like, I feel like they moved their house from the country to the city. They would be the kind of people I could imagine going, like, well, yeah, just take it with you.
That could be, but that wasn't addressed, I guess.
Oh, you know what I think I'm thinking of is the house in Up, Pixar's Up, yeah. Right? Where the city builds around it. That's the vibe I get. So they basically live in, like, this rundown house, this old country house with... a big yard, but it also has like they farm there because the father's a farmer, and essentially episodes follow this country family who lives in Big City. It is both a big city and called Big City. So you do have Cricket, who's the main character. You have Tilly, who's his older sister, Bill the father, who's a farmer, and then you have Grandma, who sometimes goes by Alice, but she is the grandma, and she is great. At least one of the episodes I watch.
Yeah, and then you also have Remy that's in some episodes, which is just kind of this friend that showed up and is now friends with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is Remy is the African-American boy, right?
Yeah, he's a black kid.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. There was another... Oh, no. Okay, so it's always usually like Remy, Tilly, and Cricket hanging out, really.
Yeah, Remy's just there sometimes. There's not like... He's not...
A fixture.
Yeah, he's not part of the story because the story is about the family, really.
Yeah.
Cricket and the family. And Remy's just kind of, I think, there just to make sure it's not this white country family.
Right. And in one of the episodes I watched, we run into Gloria, who is a barista at a coffee shop right next door called Big Coffee. She's more of like a recurring character, I think, like Remy, basically. So those are the main characters you can run into. Brett, I would be interested to hear some of the episodes that you watch or an episode that you watch, because I just picked one right in the middle.
Okay. I watched the first three episodes of the show.
Mm-hmm. Like parts or?
No, actually full episodes. So what?
Dang.
Six parts altogether. So I started at the beginning, and I kind of started with episode one to see like, oh, what are they doing here? Mm-hmm. Who are these people and everything? And so that kind of introduced Cricket trying to get used to the city life and his dad being like, oh, man, we gotta be nice to these people. They don't know our ways. We don't know theirs. Like, we don't want to make a lot of noise kind of thing. And that episode kind of goes around him trying to launch a chicken into space to impress everyone.
That's his way of trying to fit in.
Yeah. And Remy shows up in this episode, first introduced to Remy, and he's just walking by, and he's like, hey, kid, come here. You want to help me launch this chicken into space? And Remy's like, yeah, my mom said I can't. And he's like, I don't see your mom around here now. And he's like, oh, yeah, good point.
Wow.
So that episode was pretty good. The second part of that one was called Steak Night, and it's all about them getting steaks for this monthly steak night they have, and Cricket, and they decide to take the subway. Cricket accidentally leaves the stakes at one of the stations.
What?
It's thought to be like a bomb because it's an unidentified package that someone left in the subway. So then he has to fight a robot for it. So that was pretty.
Wait, like
a, pretty
like insane. The bomb sniffing robot, basically.
Yeah.
Nice. Give me back my steaks.
Then the second episode, there was one called Cricket Versus that I don't really remember, but then this Blue Tater one kind of sticks out in my head quite a bit. It's about they're going to open a food truck because his dad's an organic farmer, and he's like, hey, we got vegetables, and we got a truck. We should have a food truck. And his dad's like, oh, yeah, it's potato season. Let's make a French fry truck, and he's going to call it It's French Fries.
Well, he's not lying.
But when they're pulling up the taters from the garden, one of them is blue, and that tater is an old wise tale of being cursed in the family. Anyone who touches that tater is now cursed for the rest of their life.
Oh, no.
And then, so it's the hijinks that ensue when you believe that you're cursed. You constantly make things go wrong.
So does it end up being the story is more like whether they're cursed or not, they sort of start screwing up because they think they're cursed? Like they believe it, right?
Yeah, Tilly basically tells them, yeah, you caused all those problems, not the tater.
Yeah, so it's like a weird placebo thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that episode was pretty good. And then I'll only mention the first part of episode 3 because that was a pretty good one too. It's called Swimming Fool. Mm-hmm. And they go to an in-ground swimming pool or inside swimming pool, like at YMCA or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so it's all about like Cricket jumping off the high dive and being not afraid. And so that was a pretty fun one.
Yeah.
Because you introduced to a lot of characters. You get some fun stuff with Cricket and how he talks a big show, but when it comes down to it, he's kind of scared and he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, there were so many moments where he feels like he wants to get into mischief or he wants to do something, but like he might not be knowledgeable of whatever he's about to do.
Yeah.
He doesn't quite know how to approach that thing. That's quite the wide variety of episodes, dude. And so you said it's not really, there wasn't really a true origin of like, hey, they were just in the city.
Yeah, they're just in the city and he's trying to come up with a plan to impress his neighbors. Like that was it. Like, I got to make a good impression on these people because we're new here. Mm-hmm. Otherwise they're going to think we're dumb or we're not exciting people kind of thing. So let's go. Launch this chicken into space.
Interesting. And it sounds like just about every episode that you watched mainly focused on Cricket too.
The third episode, second part was called Tilly's Goat.
Oh, okay.
And Tilly has like a connection with animals. Mm-hmm. And she, I guess, connected with this goat. And they like, I don't know, mind melt. And she's like, oh, there's a reason why this goat isn't giving any milk, because he's a dog. And so, then it's all about her taking him to a dog show. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the goat's really a dog.
But did you, the audience, know that?
Well, it's still a goat, right? But
kind of.
There's a lot of under, I don't know. There's a lot of messages you could get into with that. I don't know how deep if they were really thinking like trans kind of thing in that or just wacky, silly, this goat thinks he's a dog kind of thing. But he's obviously a goat. Like a goat can't be a dog.
Gotcha. But, I see. They do have Oh, go ahead.
It just depends on how much you want to connect to that, right?
Yeah. Do you want to pick it apart and overanalyze, or do you want to take it at face value, I guess? Mm-hmm. Which you could do for any modern show, really. Lots of times we always come back to Loud House as a show that felt like their moral was like a reserved 30 seconds or whatever at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
You know, to tie it together. In at least one of the episodes that I watched, actually, both episodes kind of had a moral at the end. It was very much, but it was very spelled out. It wasn't like suggestive. It was like, no, this is the moral.
Okay. Which episodes did you watch?
So I was reading some plot details. And so I was like, huh, this seems like there's some continuity within the series. Not that you necessarily need to start at the beginning. So I actually watched episode 9, which the episodes were called Phil Bill and Critterball Crisis. I'll get to the continuity thing in a minute. Phil Bill was actually kind of a crazy episode because I thought they did an amazing job of the whole family. It focused on the four family members go out to a sea fusion restaurant. It's like seafood fusion hip city restaurant, and you know these country folk aren't gonna like fit in at this restaurant. Basically, the episode does an amazing job of three separate storylines where grandma's doing her thing, Bill is doing his thing, and then the kids are kind of doing their own thing. All of it happens in this like seafood restaurant. The main through plot is Bill is like concerned. He's like, he's not sure really what seafood is, like what he should get on the menu. And then it becomes this whole battle between Bill and the waiter, basically saying Bill was like, "Oh, I'll just get your fish and chips." And the waiter's like, "Well, that's a great dish for tourists." And so he convinces him that like locals, if you're a real local like us, you get this like 12 course meal with like one bite of sushi and like a whole fish, whole wheat taco and like just crazy amounts of food.
Okay.
Good evening, folks. Have you decided on what you'd like to order?
Yes, I think I'll have the fish and chips.
Ah, yes, a popular dish for tourists.
No, now you see, I'm not a tourist. I live in Big City.
Oh, really? Then in that case, you should order what all the locals order. The Sea Fusion Tsunami! A 12-course meal of our most creative sea fusions.
Well then, as a local, I will have that.
Very well. And for you, sweetie?
I will have the seahorse salad.
And I'll have the phony bologna or whatever.
Ah, fantastic. Our phony bologna comes with two sides.
So the waiter the entire episode is egging Bill on to like eat. I'm just gonna say gross like seafood meal after meal after meal, and the whole time Bill is like, "Yeah, I'm local, like I can do this, I can totally do that. I know how to use chopsticks." He's poking himself in the eye with them, and like it's really entertaining. He just spends the entire episode trying to prove that he fits in. It comes back to the moral at the end that essentially he is in this like food coma of fish where he believes he's a mermaid and he's talking to a fish. And essentially decides, wait a second, like, I don't have to be anything anybody tells me to be. I can be me and I fit in. Like, it's your problem if you're the one that says I don't, basically. And he breaks out of that, like, weird fish dream and, like, throws up a bunch of fish. And it was pretty gross. But the other two plots that were happening were pretty great. One was Grandma saw on the wall the decor of the seafood restaurant, a trident. And she's like, "That trident looks really familiar. Not sure what's going on." And then halfway through, she's like, "Wait, that was my trident. I used to sail the seven seas and like stab whales with that." And like,
what?
So she was an adventurer. So her plot in the entire episode is trying to steal this trident off of the wall of this restaurant. And then once she does steal it, get away. And she then suddenly like mistakes all the staff as wanting to fight her and take it back. Just because like... she jumps behind a sushi counter with it and they have knives and she's like, "Oh, you want to fight, huh?" And they're like, no, we don't. Jesus, crazy lady. Like, get away from me with this trident.
Yeah.
Turns out like we find out at the end after all of her escapades that she's like, "Eh, it wasn't even my trident. I'm just going to keep it because it's cool." But Cricket's portion of the episode is like, he wants to live dangerously. So he asks for something that's not on the menu and they give him like the monster burger or something, which is literally like, patty, slice of lettuce, and a whole octopus that's still alive. And he has to fight it and stuff, and like but then he decides like, "I can't eat you, like you're cute." So then him and Tilly spend the rest of the episode trying to save all the octopi from the restaurant. They're like, "No, people can't eat this is ridiculous, these guys are adorable." Which ends up being them jumping in the octopus tank and it crashes and breaks and they throw him into the harbor. This restaurant's like kind of off on the river or the harbor or whatever. And they're basically banned from life for this restaurant because they destroyed all of their fish. They flooded it. Like, it was pretty crazy. And they just walked off like, "Yeah, well, at least we know we're locals." So
did they save the octopuses?
Yeah. Cause they threw them all into the harbor. They're like, "Yeah, you're okay, free." But they didn't mean to break the huge tank. That just, I think it happened because I want to say Granny's trident hit it or something. So
most of the time I would say the episodes include them doing a lot of damage to stuff.
Yeah.
And then just being like, all right, whew, that was solved.
Yeah. So it's interesting you bring that up, because this is why I started the next episode, Critter Ball Crisis. It has to do with doing damage, but it also has to do with how you repay that damage, or like what you should do. Okay. And Critter Ball is kind of a way, it's like kind of like kickball, basically. And they're playing. It's the three kids, Remy, Tilly, and Cricket. And Cricket and them kick a ball over the fence, and it like smashes a coffee into someone's face at the coffee shop next door. And this is where Gloria comes in, the bartender, mm-hmm. or the barista. And they're like, oh, it's really rare that a home run like that happens. It won't happen again. Of course, then it happens a dozen more times. And they've basically broken all of the furniture and all kinds of stuff in the coffee shop. But Gloria's like so upset that she's like, you're like not apologizing. You just keep coming over here asking for this ball back. Why would I give you these balls? She basically took all the balls that he kept kicking over and locked them up.
Right.
And then you learn a little bit more about Gloria, where like she's just working this barista job so she can go to Paris. She loves Paris and really wants to go there. She has this really expensive Eiffel Tower like figurine kind of thing that she keeps at the bar of the coffee shop to remind her of like why she's working.
I see. Okay.
And it ends up coming to light that while Cricket is like, he continues to not apologize, he tries to steal the balls back. That doesn't work. So instead, he steals the Eiffel Tower. And to like get back at her. This is his like mischievous ways, right? Diplomacy didn't work. I'm going to do this. But then in the exchange, when they're like going to try to be reasonable, he says, give me one of my balls back and I'll give you your Eiffel Tower. He like drops it and smashes the statue while he's trying to grab the ball on accident. And he feels so bad. But then obviously she's super pissed off that that like.
Right. Yeah, of course.
Basically, you crushed her dreams. That's exactly what he did.
Gloria.
Cricket.
May I see a critter ball? I need to know they're safe.
See? Your stupid balls are fine.
Where's my tower?
Remy? See? It's safe.
Oh, thank goodness. No, please, hand it over.
Toss me a ball first.
Ugh. Fine.
Oh my gosh, Gloria, I'm so sorry.
No! No, 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 no! You're a horrible, horrible little boy.
I didn't mean to. Honest, it was an accident. Now, Gloria, we can...
They end up getting in this fight at the coffee shop where there's lots of, like, dodgeballs going back and forth where she's knocking out. Like, Remy has a great moment where he didn't need to be part of this at all, but he just gets beamed in the face with a dodgeball.
Okay.
So lots of stuff gets destroyed. Suddenly the boss of the coffee shop shows up and is about to fire Gloria. Takes her hat. She doesn't speak. She just, you know, very sternly takes her hat and says, you're going to get fired. Gloria is like begging for her job. She has a dream to go to Paris and all this stuff. And Cricket suddenly realizes Critterball and Paris are the same thing, is what he says out loud. Basically like, hey, Mrs. Boss Lady, don't fire her. Fire me, because I am the one that did all this. Like, I broke her dreams, like, whatever. It's my fault.
Okay.
And even Gloria's like, yeah, but you don't work here. So then he says, well, okay, hire me, and I'll work until I pay off the damages, and then you can fire me. So Gloria gets her job back, and now they're co-workers. I noticed in a couple of episode descriptions after this that up until the final episode of the season, I think he works at this coffee shop.
Like, okay, it's funny. Okay,
this episode basically ends with him saying, cool, I got a job, even though he's not getting paid. He's just fixing all the damages he destroyed this
right
coffee
and
shop.
He's like, what, eight?
Yeah. Eight and clueless. So it was a really cool episode to meet Gloria, so I'm assuming she'll be more recurring now given that this is the back half of the season. I thought it was interesting. Like, the moral was very much like, I don't know what kid would be stand up enough, or like, you've got a really good head on your shoulders if you can realize like, hey, I actually caused this. Just because someone else doesn't love the thing I love doesn't mean I should poop on the thing that they love.
Right. Yeah.
So it was a cool moral. I want to keep watching, because I think thinking of Cricket working at a coffee shop is great.
It cannot go well. Like, no way.
Yeah, right. It can't. Service is terrible. But I think we've gushed about it quite a bit. But Brad, after watching a few episodes, what's your general thoughts on the series?
Yeah, I really liked it. I think the characters are really fun. And like the whole world of characters are kind of neat. They're simple and they're like, I don't want to say the noodle arm style, but they're very just floppy.
Yeah.
Like when you see people like in the swimming pool one, Tilly's diving underwater and you see people just kind of swimming underwater slithering. And they're like snake-like kind of stuff. So that's pretty neat. And so I really like the look of it. The stories are fun. I do think it's kind of Disney's take on a Clarence kind of show where Cricket often messes things up, but at the end kind of brings people together and makes everyone look at it in a different light.
And it maybe doesn't get like as weird and overly silly as Clarence did. Like there's definitely some silliness, but I felt like it was pretty grounded. If that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think the other characters in the show, like Tilly and the grandma and even the dad, all play like a more important part where Clarence is Clarence's show. This isn't Cricket's show. It focuses on Cricket, but it's not, he's not the main, like, there's other stories happening around him.
Yeah. It's fun to focus on the adventurous young boy who is going to go out and do things and go do these sort of like adventures in the city. So of course you're going to see a lot of episodes of him, but I love that I caught one about his dad mainly, you know, it was kind of interesting. Yeah, man. I don't know. I was watching the show and I kept getting, now that you brought up Clarence, I definitely get that. I get like Gravity Falls. I get some Harvey Beaks. Like it's kind of like an amalgamation of like some of these shows. And I gotta say, I looked up some of the reviews, like what it gets for like, you know, star ratings on like IMDb or whatever. And it wasn't very high, but I was like, why not? This show is like totally endearing. Like it's super fun. I want to know more about like citizens of Big City. I love the idea that in a stupid way, this is really selfish, but like it kind of reminds me of like when I moved to a big city from like not the country, but like the sticks. And there are so many times when I just did something dumb or like didn't know like, oh, that's how cities work, I guess.
Yeah.
So selfishly, I think I enjoy it for that aspect because I see a lot of myself in Cricket, maybe not as adventurous and I was way older by then, but just like, I don't know, man, cities just have their way of doing things instead of regular people. But if you grow up in isolation in the country, like you probably don't know.
Mm-hmm. On the rating thing, how is any cartoon supposed to get high ratings?
True.
These cartoons are made for kids. Yeah. They're not writing reviews. They're barely using anything but the app to watch these cartoons. So it had to have been some parent or someone like us write a review for this show.
Yeah.
And if it's a parent, they probably were upset that it showed something and decided to write it.
Yeah, that's true. So you're saying I shouldn't believe what the internet tells me every time.
I'm saying, especially on cartoons. Like,
yeah.
You will never. What does a 30-year-old male say about this cartoon who has no kids? Let me find that review. Yeah.
No, that's true. And even there are even adults, you know, our parents' age, basically, that they even know that I do animation, like my folks, but they will not watch an animated movie. They are just have no interest in it. It's just, I don't want to say it's a generational thing because obviously those age people made those early cartoons, but I should stop reading reviews and stuff to paint my judgment of things. There's too much of that.
They will watch more of them. There's like that new movie, Next Gen on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Even my wife, we saw the trailer and she's like, why does this look so good for Netflix? This looks like a Pixar movie and it's just right here on the homepage. Like what, how is this a thing?
Yeah.
So you're just going to see more of this stuff because more people want to do it. It's easier to do. And there's a lot more, I think, fun stories you can show with animation.
Yeah.
So,
and on the flip side of like reviews, we're like not really a review show. We're just kind of watching shows and letting you guys know what we think. Plus, it's a good chance to chat with each other about shows that we watch. There's way too many people out there trying to tell you their opinions of shows and whatever you should think of them. I think it's better off if you just spend the time to watch the show, truthfully, than reading someone's review. You should watch the show.
Mm-hmm. There's so many shows. Like, of course, they're not going to all be for you.
Yeah.
And you can't watch them all. So, whatever, find the ones you like and, you know, watch and enjoy as much as you can of it.
Yeah. Even though I said don't listen to reviewers and people online, we recommend you watch the show. That's not even telling you like what you should think of it. It's just a good show. You should check it out.
Yeah, check it out.
Cool. Big City Greens, brought to us by Brad Chmielewski, of course, and Disney XD, sponsored. Yeah, that's it. I'm out of it. Let's get out of here, Brad. Where can people find out more about you when you're not recording Toon Talk Weekly?
So you can find me on Twitter at brad, and my blog is digitalhitchhiker.com.
Great. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Jacob Williams. Of course, Toon Talk Weekly, all over the place. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Google+, all that good stuff. And on YouTube as Toon Talk Weekly. ToonTalkWeekly@gmail.com. Send us an email, what you think of the show, what you think of this show in particular, or any episodes you want us to check out. And finally, ToonTalkWeekly.com, the main hub for the show where you can get any and all episodes up to this point. And yeah, I think that's going to do it for this week. Pretty big episode, which is good because I think it means we like the show. Usually if it's longer, it means we like the show. So.
And we didn't even mention his catchphrase, bingo bongo.
Bingo bongo. Oh, I forgot to mention, I think I texted it to you at one point in the stupid Seafoods Fusion restaurant. They had like a pizza smoothie and grandma's like, what? Pizza's for eating, not for drinking. I was like, that, if Brad does one of his meme photos, that's going to be it.
It should be that. It might be the... indoor swimming pool. Now I've seen everything.
That's a great way to end it. We will be back next week with another cartoon. Thanks for joining us.
Take care.
To learn more about the show, visit toontalkweekly.com or follow us on Twitter at toontalkweekly.